This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is the Rainbow Report with Doug Pollard. Helping me out in the studio today, we've got Tim Wilson from the IPA. And joining us now, we have Ben Hartung, who's the Chief Executive Officer of Hockey Victoria. Now, he comes to Hockey Victoria with a pretty good CV of working in sport. He's been with the Grand Prix and the Motorcycle Grand Prix, so hockey should be a doddle after all that, I should think. How are you, Ben?
Perhaps not billions of dollars of sponsorship. Yeah.
Very well. It's a very different funding model, I can give you that guarantee. But can I just say, firstly, thank you very much to Doug and Tim, and also to Joy for having us, because obviously this is clearly one of those issues, and you mentioned culture before, but the more we can talk about it and have these opportunities, that's actually going a long way to increasing that culture, and I think it's something we do need to talk about more.
Now, Helen made the point that hockey wasn't picked because it's a sport with a problem. Hockey was picked because it's a sport that is pretty inclusive already. Did you have any formal kind of policies about diversity in place before this program?
Yes, there are. In the existing member protection policies and codes of behaviour, etc., both from a national body point of view with Hockey Australia and also down to the national and or state and territory bodies, that clearly is already in there.
Mm-hmm. So why did you feel the need to sort of pair up with the Human Rights Commission into this Fair Go Sport program?
Yeah, look, it was, as Helen mentioned too, it was a great opportunity for a sport that's mid-sized team-based sport that does have that good gender balance already to actually drill down into club land. So for me as CEO of Hockey Victoria, the advantage was that we were able to get into work with four pilot clubs in particular to find out what practices they currently had that were working and were successful, but where can we help that club initiate the learnings both within their own environment. So for me, the biggest attraction that I see with this project is that it is assets-based and action learning. It's not a national body. It's not the Sports Commission pumping down another procedure manual or policy and saying, here you go, roll it out now. And if you don't roll it out, here are the consequences. It's not set up that way. And that's probably, I think, as a key attraction.
But Ben, you've always got to measure these things against past behaviour to try and get some sort of indication if they work. Have there been issues in the past in hockey that are around homophobia, or are we going to see a plan that is beautiful by design, but we can't necessarily prove it works?
Yeah. Look, certainly to answer the first part, there hasn't been any specific issues that have been raised by either national or state level, but there's no doubt that through the participation of our players in our sport, it's of interest to coaches who are managing the teams, spectators and club administrators to have the education and the knowledge to deal with these issues when they actually arise either in a national team or break it right down to that club level when a player is experiencing or comes to the club and says, I may be subject of harassment here, or I was given a comment on the hockey field. How does that administration and club deal with that situation?
So in driving that cultural change, what are the dimensions of this project? What are you going to do in those situations?
With that, we're actually piloting, I suppose, some intervention strategies with the four pilot clubs. So examples with that are that we are reviewing. Part of it is an auditing function, I suppose, looking at the existing codes and policies to see whether they adequately cover that and whether there's the familiarity across the whole club network of those codes, because quite often you'll have the administrators sitting there that are aware of that, but maybe the coaching structure and the parents and the players themselves aren't even aware of their existence or how to activate those policies if they find themselves in a situation. So there's definitely the auditing, but the majority of this project's about the clubs trialling things, and I'll talk a little bit later potentially about what Camberwell Hockey Club are doing, particularly tomorrow with the opening that you mentioned, Doug, in your intro, because there's some definite strategies that they're doing to get that message across.
I have to say, as somebody who used to play hockey in high school, Camberwell were always the ones that beat us, and so I am glad to see them take some positive change. You said there were four clubs, though. Who are the other three? free.
Yeah, we've got the good thing about this is that with the pilot clubs, and they actually came forward on a voluntary basis. So again, that action learning, we haven't selected these. They've come forward to be involved, which I think says a lot about the sport. There's Campbell Hockey Club, there's Bor Bor Hockey Club from down in Gippsland, Werribee Hockey Club, and also Old Carey Hockey Club.
Right.
And you've got a fair old spread there. Mm. You've got a fair old spread of different kinds of clubs in different parts of the state.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the size and the strength varies dramatically. I mean, you've got the club, as Tim said, that, you know, that Camberwell is renowned for their strength. They've got sort of close to 900 members, 46 teams in our competition. And you know, they've been operating since 1932 versus a Bor Bor Hockey Club, which is really trying to strengthen hockey in that Gippsland area, et cetera. So there is a good spread.
You mentioned before, you know, not just about the players and not just about the coaching staff and that, but you mentioned spectators, you mentioned... I'm thinking in particular of parents of people of kids who play hockey, for example, who've been, I mean, sporting parents tend to have been a bit of a problem in some of the other sports of leaping onto the pitch and wading in. You don't have that kind of problem in hockey?
No, look, we do, and the problem is trying to get that message clearly to the parents as well, because these are volunteer administrators out there doing their best to embed those messages.
So how do you go about doing that?
Well, part of it is...
they do have big sticks when they're playing.
Yeah, we certainly don't have the use of that. Look, part of it is making sure that through the use of the club websites and when a basic level with a junior participant who signs up at the club, the club making it very clear that this is part of the expectation of when you join the club, you're actually signing up, not just to be playing on the pitch, you're actually signing up for endorsement of these particular policies. So that's where Campbell are doing a poster on the weekend, and they're going to be promoting that around, which basically says what you say matters, give everyone a fair go in sport. So there's either the visual mediums to remind parents, information on websites, but for example, Werribee Hockey Club linked their junior club registration day with the Fair Go Sport logo and that messaging, because there's no doubt when parents scan the environment for their children to find their sport of choice, they are looking for visual clues that give the parents comfort that this is a safe and welcoming and inclusive environment. So make no mistake, there is an element of branding with this that is attractive to people when they're selecting their sport.
Well, let's look specifically at Camberwell, because you've got these matches coming up at the weekend. Tell us about that.
Yeah, look, tomorrow down at the Campbell Hockey Club, it sort of kicks off at 11:30 a.m., but they're running a massive family day down at their ground, and you mentioned where it was. It's in Matlock Reserve, Matlock Street in Canterbury, but they're having matches run from 11:30 onwards with their juniors, but their two prime matches will be at 1:45 and 3:45, which is their men's and women's State League One matches, so that's the premier competition you can play in Victoria for hockey. They're playing both against the Waverley Hockey Club, another one, Tim, of you might remember. Call from your...
Let's not talk about those days.
An inch of the days, but certainly they're up there as a strong and prestigious club. So they're playing, they'll be both the men and women of Camberwell will be having the rainbow-coloured socks. They'll be wearing those, so they're breaking with their club tradition, which is a good thing. And then the winner of the games will be presented with the Fair Go Sport Cup at the conclusion.
So it's going to be a nice big family day out down at Camberwell Hockey Club.
How do we get a pair of those rainbow-coloured socks?
I'll send a couple of pairs into the studio.
that sounds great. And I like particularly that you've got this emphasis on getting this whole message across to whole families.
What's the reaction been so far? Has it been support? I'm obviously supportive, but has it been a real enthusiasm and jump at the opportunity?
Yeah, look, it has. I think you touched on at the start, there was certainly in the beginning some speculation of why hockey has been chosen and was this something that we needed to fix? And I think we've addressed that by saying, you know, it's more exploring the positive work that hockey had done. The clubs are on board, so there's more than just the four pilot clubs. A lot of other part of the key aim of this project is to take the lessons and learnings that we're learning from these four and put those across all the hockey clubs in Victoria and then nationally as well. That's why Hockey Australia are so linked to this, is because they are keen to put it across the states and territories.
And you've also, I don't want to indulge, I see you've got quite an impressive list of people who are coming along on the day as well, the official welcoming party of and federal members of parliament and others.
No, you saw my list there, but yeah, certainly, I mean, there's the federal MP for Higgins, Kelly O'Dwyer, and certainly the state member for Kew and Mayor of Boroondara, etc. So they'll all be down there.
And of course, Helen will be there handing out the cup.
Helen will be there. She's one of the key guests.
Yeah. Now, this is hockey. Is this program applicable to other sports besides hockey? I mean, where does it go from hockey? Is it something that's easily transferable into other team sporting environments? Because I'm thinking, you know, we spoke with Helen about how important sports clubs are, particularly as places where people feel, you know, gay people often feel very unsafe. And particularly in rural areas, they are like the focus of many, many small towns and villages.
Well, they can be the pillar of civil society and communities.
Yes, yeah, but they tend to be the football netball clubs in a lot of places. Is this program easily transferable across to other sports once you've kind of proved the concept with hockey?
Look, that certainly is the aim, and one of the biggest components too of this is that there's an evaluation stream right through this. So we've got La Trobe University, but through their Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society. So Gillian Fletcher is working with us. So she's capturing all of these things. We do feel sometimes we're under the microscope and video the whole time, but she's taking those learnings for that exact reason, Doug, that right. we can transpose the learnings across other sports.
Are any other sports sort of watching what you're doing?
Yeah, look, certainly we've had some interest, and I'll probably look to name a few. I know that Certainly, Cricket Victoria and their CEO, Tony Dottomade's, expressed interest in Football Federation with Mark Rendell, and there are others that are keenly watching us because we are a strong network.
Well, that's going to be interesting to see if it does sort of pick up and move out into other sports, because the problem, as I hinted to Helen earlier on, with a lot of these things is, and you mentioned it as well in passing, it's all very well for sort of peak bodies in these particular sports to produce procedure manuals and to produce codes and sort of put them out to clubs and say that's what you're supposed to do. And by and large, having been a person who's written many kinds of user manuals for many things down the years, they tend to sit on the shelf.
Well, that's why Helen was right about the need for ownership. And I think it's a good idea to trial these things in a particular sport where there's a good opportunity to do so, and then try it in other sports and see that if they can adopt it and run it in their own way, recognising their own unique culture, you will actually get a much better outcome.
I think, to emphasise that, this is real people in real clubs doing real activities, so that's just not a throwaway line, and that's where the clubs are, the laboratories for where all of this good work's happening. If we don't get the message in that club level, we've got no hope pushing it further up the tree more broadly.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the key point. You've got to have them buying into it at club level, or it will never go anywhere. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Ben, and have a good day tomorrow.
Thank you very much, and again, I encourage everyone who wants to come and see some top quality hockey to get down to Camberwell.
Yes, and you know, maybe score a pair of rainbow socks while you're about it.
Excellent. Thank you again.
You're listening to the Rainbow Report on Joy 94.9. In a couple of moments, we're going to be talking to Anton Block from the Anti-Defamation Commission.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.